Well, good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning or logged on for the very first time, I would like to say from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, we are glad that you're here. And we hope that you know that our doors swing on welcome hinges, and we welcome all who would love to worship with us in spirit and in truth. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us is having a zeal for God's word, loving one another as Christ also loved us, and keeping ourselves focused on this time side of life as we become better men and women of God. And I want you to know that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. There was a little boy who was overhearing some people talking, and he strutted through the backyard wearing his baseball cap, and he was so excited about playing baseball, right? And he said to himself, "I am the greatest in the world." And so he tossed the ball up in the air, and you know how when you're playing ball and you're trying to hit the ball yourself, so you're throwing it to yourself and you're swinging, right? And you're doing all the commentating, you know, you're talking yourself through it. This is what this little boy was doing. He'd swing and he'd miss. And he'd say, "Strike one." And then he'd yell, "Underrated." Then he picked the ball up again and he says, "I'm the greatest in the world." And he throws it up again into the air. And when it came down, he swung and he missed again. "Strike two," he cried. And then the boy paused a moment. And he examined the ball carefully, because surely something is wrong with this ball because I can't hit it. So it has to be something wrong with it. Then he spit on his hands, rubbed them together. He straightened his cap up, fixed his pants, and says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He tossed the ball up again. He swung and he missed. And he said, "Strike three. Wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." I hope I said that to encourage you in a way that you know that you may go through things over and over and over again, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, being faithful, being the husband, the wife, the children you need to be, the family you need to be. And I am saying that to say that there may be some things going on in your life, but I can tell you this, if you find and seek out the positive things, you will get positive results. And so no matter how bleak it may be, we all have to be positive. This morning's sermon is simply about encouragement. Simply about encouragement. We did have a wonderful lesson, I believe, on marriage and the family, the three D's to a successful marriage. And Dee Dee said to me it was such a good lesson, she wanted me to do another one on marriage. So I intended on doing another one on marriage, but it's not short. Amen. Okay. All right. And so I wanted to prepare you for it. You know, I didn't want to just spring it on you that we were going to be here for an additional 2 hours on Sunday and you not know about it. So next week, be prepared to be here to midnight. So we're going to do one on marriage. But this morning it's about encouragement. And it's a short sermon, just a reminder how much we need one another. We're talking about one another, loving one another for our 2021 theme. And this is just the encouraging part. It's loving one another, encouraging one another. So if you would please turn your electronic devices and your Bibles, if you have them with you this morning, with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 3 through 5. And I want you to understand that we all, as you turn there, we all face struggles, right? We all go through struggles of various kinds. Some are self-inflicted. We can all agree on that. And others are not, right? And we need to take comfort in what Christ has done for us on the cross as we go through these various trials. How Jesus' sacrifice guarantees something that we must never forget. That sacrifice on the cross guaranteed us that God loved us more than we could ever love ourselves. And he's watching out for us. He was looking out for us when we went looking out for ourselves. He had already made up in his mind that these people that I created, I am going to love them. I've created them to worship me and follow me, but I love them. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 5, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Life can be tiring. I'm going to tell you, if anybody know that life is tiring, it's me. Especially when you're struggling with sin. Life can be tiring, especially when you have family members that aren't saved. Life can be tiring when the bills aren't paid. Life can be tiring when school is difficult, young people. Life can be tiring when work is exhausting, saints. Life can be tiring when your health is failing. Life can be tiring when you lose loved ones. Life can be tiring. And discouragement is a part of that. But this morning, I want you to look at discouragement no longer as just a word. I want you to look at discouragement as a thief. Discouragement is a thief. You know what it does? It steals your zeal. Discouragement steals your joy. Discouragement steals your peace, your vitality, and your contentment. Discouragement is a thief. And not only is it a thief, if discouragement dwells long with you and you allow it to set up shop, you move where discouragement is. There are some friends that will join you soon after. There are some neighbors that will surround you when you set up shop around discouragement. And those names are fatigue, hopelessness. There are some of the friends of discouragement, pity, depression, doubt, bitterness. Sometimes discouragement can be so strong that you don't even want to go on living. Discouragement, saints, is a thief. Discouragement is a dissatisfaction with the past. Discouragement is a distaste for the present. Discouragement is a distrust of the future. It is a result of blindness. It is an ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday. I'll say that again. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, the indifference to the opportunities of today, and it is also an insecurity regarding the strength of tomorrow. It is an unawareness of the presence of God. When you're discouraged, you can't be in the presence of God. Because when you're in the presence of God and you have an intimate relationship with God and you trust God, there is no room for discouragement. It is an unawareness of the presence of God and an unconcern for the needs of your fellow man. And an unbelief that the promises of his word is true. That's what discouragement looks like. If we have nothing to rely on, or we forget our blessings and look to our circumstances, I need you to understand this, then that's when discouragement begins to take hold. And instead, we need to encourage instead of being discouraged. We need hope, peace, and knowledge that the Lord knows our troubles, and he does have a great concern of what you're going through. He does have a great compassion for you, and he's not leaving you unloved or uncared for. I need for you to understand something. Sometimes God gives you disruption in your life as a gift to recenter your priorities. So a lot of times we look at the things that we go through as so hard and so terrible, but we don't look at them as a gift. It is a gift from God. You start having things go away and things start to be out of order. That disruption in your everyday routine is a gift from God to say, wait a minute, I need to recenter my focus. I need to remember who's in charge. So he disrupts things for you to say to yourself, I am out of control. I have no way of putting this back together. So I got to lean and trust on somebody else. And that recenters your focus back on him. Keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus is the best way to be encouraged. In him, we can find and have comfort, peace, and encouragement. But we need to find him and his word. And we also need to have faith that rests in him and him alone. So very quickly, I want to look at a few things to be encouraged about. I want us to be encouraged because God is a God of mercy and comfort. So if you came in this morning and you've been discouraged, if you've had a discouraging week, if you have had a discouraging couple of days, I want you to think about the best way to be encouraged. And that is the fact that God has shown you mercy and given you comfort. Verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort. God is called the Father of mercies. So, the Greek word mercy is okteromos. It means compassion. It means pity. It means mercy. And it is something that is felt in the heart. It is God's very heart that in it he feels mercy towards us. Right. He is the author of mercy. His mercy towards us brings us salvation. It forgives our sin. It delivered us from eternal damnation. And this is because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice when he shed his blood for you and for me. So simply put, if God does nothing else for you, he has already done enough. And you ought to be encouraged in knowing that he already paid a debt that you owe that you could not pay back. He already suffered beyond any manner or way that you could have suffered in your life. And he did it for you. God is the God of mercy. In Psalms 86 and verse 5, it says, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. The Greek word for comfort is paraklesis. It means exhortation, comfort, and encouragement. In fact, this form of the word parakletos, it is used in the Holy Spirit. That is why the Holy Spirit is called a comforter. In John 14:26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. In the ESV, the word is rendered. It means helper. All this shows us is that God is the God of comfort, exhortation, and encouragement. And we ought to be encouraged because of his mercy and his comfort. All comfort comes from God, who is called the God of comfort, mercy, and love. And I need for you to understand something. When you're going through something and you need some comfort, I'm here to tell you that it's not going to be because of some angel or some cosmic force or some pill or psychotherapy, right? Or some clever slogan. It ain't going to be Piedmont Hospital that's going to give you comfort. It's not going to be the government that's going to give you comfort. It won't be Allstate. It won't be Liberty Mutual. It won't be the Avengers or the Justice League. It will be the God Almighty that gives you the exact comfort that you need. But you have to ask yourself, how is the comfort received from God? Well, first and foremost, by faith. That comfort that you want comes by faith because God says he is the God of comfort. So guess what? Then you're going to need to believe in it and act upon it to trust what he says, that you need to trust him and receive him, right? And he provides that comfort. The second thing is from others. We take that one out. We forget about that one, We forget how important it is. That's why we're talking about loving one another from others, because God uses his people to also comfort us. We cannot forget that. So when we have a problem, doesn't the Lord send somebody your way to help remind you of what you need to be doing? Put somebody in your life to tell you to stop acting crazy and silly and get your mind right. Remember who your God is. He absolutely uses people to encourage us through the word or a helping hand or a shoulder to cry on. I told you guys, I love you very much, and I mean that. I told you, I either cry with you or throw up with you. Either way it go, I got your back. And let me say, if we haven't been reaching out to one another, we got to do better. You know who you are. If you've been telling yourself since you've been in church, man, I got to do better. We're reaching out with my family members and asking them how they're doing and what do they need or what is it that I could be praying for. Then we need to start doing it. There is no time like the present. You know, all the time that you go through on Instagram, I'm telling you, all they ever talk about on Instagram now is how to make money, what businesses you need to invest in. And I remember when I started with no money in my pocket, but this program, and when I started doing this, it changed my life. And all you have to do is click on the link and swipe up. And if you click and swipe up, your life will be different. And all it's going to cost you is. And then Christ died on the cross for your sins, giving you the opportunity of everlasting life, and said, whatever you ask in my name, and you are being faithful to me, there is nothing that I won't do for you. But we won't click or swipe up when it comes to the word. Well, we'll click and swipe up to listen to a man tell you how to live a wealthy, comfortable life based on money. And we have a God that brings comfort if you believe in him. The second thing is to take encouragement because God is there in your afflictions. I'll say that again. We ought to be encouraged because God is there in your afflictions. Amen. Because we still here and COVID is still existing. And in our afflictions, when I had COVID, you had COVID, when your family was sick, he still took care of you in your afflictions. In verse 4, it says, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And let me say something. 2020 was tough. There was a lot of stuff that was going on. You had a lot of time to spend with yourself to reevaluate yourself in 2020. We were all at home. You was all looking at folks. You was looking at the same people, pretty much the same routine. You had to log in and log off. The kids had to be logged in and logged off. Everything we did with the church was log in and log off. We were dealing with afflictions. We were dealing with things and problems, right? And yet he still comforted us. The Greek word in affliction is thlipsis. It can be translated as tribulation, trouble, or persecution, burden, or course of affliction. Afflictions come in different shapes and sizes, right? Sickness, financial difficulties, loss of a loved one, unsure of the future, auto accidents, and the list goes on. But also, this is something that's very important. The affliction, I need you to understand, does not occur physically. We put so much emphasis on the affliction being an outward thing, and I'm telling you, the affliction takes place in the heart. That's where the affliction is. It is in the heart. That's where you get frustrated about the fact that, why did this happen to me? You confused with the why, and you hurt because it happened to you, right? So why do we have afflictions? Why do we have such a hard time in this world? Because we live in a fallen world. Simple input, we live in a fallen world, and it takes a world with trouble in it to train Christians for the higher calling to be children of God. You got to understand that, right? And you got to take the word and carve it into your spirit, into your heart. That so much so that you begin to look like Christ in the midst of your afflictions. James says in James chapter 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. It says, count it all joy, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So simply put, afflictions help us to become better. Afflictions are necessary, right? And this is how they should be tackled. As the testing and the strengthening of your faith through the comfort and the mercy of Jesus. So we don't have to worry whether or not he's going to take care of the situation. When you go into a situation and you're facing it, you don't go into it like, I think God has got my back. I think he's going to keep his promise. I'm sure he will help me pull through my situation and circumstance. You know, we always praying for opportunities. Oh, Lord, if you just give me this opportunity, Lord, if you just give me a little more, if I could just have a little more money, or if you could just send that special man my way, you spend that special woman my way. I'm just looking for an opportunity. The greatest gift that we could ask of God is to use us in an opportunity, right? Not to do that. What it should be is to show us how to see our current obligations and our current afflictions as opportunities. So what we do is we say, give me an opportunity, instead of saying this affliction of mine is an opportunity to show people the power of my God. That should be the mindset. I'm in a bad situation. Here's a perfect opportunity for me to show how powerful my God is. All the naysayers, all of those who don't believe in the word of God, all of those who say that religious stuff, I don't believe in religion. I'm not this or I'm not that. I'm going to show you the type of child of God that I am, because I believe in him and I trust in him. And in the midst of my afflictions, you can see how things come together because of my love for him and the love that he has for me. You know, I think we ain't got to worry about if he's going to take care of it, because you know what? He already took care of it. You know when he took care of it? At the cross. He took care of it at the cross. Lord, when you going to take care of me? Just remember, I already did that at the cross. Lord, I need you to do this for me. I need you to open this door for me. I already did that at the cross. So when you got your hand out expecting more and more from God, how about we give him more of us? He's going to take care of you because he's already done it at the cross. And you ought to take comfort in that. And we should be encouraged, because we can be instruments of comfort towards one another. You ought to be encouraged by that. So that, verse 4, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So to comfort others glorifies God. You see that? When you comfort somebody else instead of worrying about yourself, you're glorifying God. Being used by God should make you feel good. You should be excited that God is willing to use your gifts and talents to bring comfort to somebody else. Is that the only reason why you help somebody else? Because it feels good? Or because it is good? And we ought to be doing things that are upright and righteous and that benefits others besides ourselves. How many of us, because of a trial, have been able to help somebody else better because of that very trial that you was in? I can talk to young people about college life and how it can separate you. You can get lost in that whole college life thing, because I've been there and done that. I told you, I got the t-shirt, I got the hat, I got the keychain, that picture at the end of the ride where you looking crazy. I got all of that, been there and done that. And I'm saying, when you take those very things that you go through in your life, you can use them as testimonies to encourage and comfort other people. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. You see, God does not comfort us just to make us comfortable. I'll say that again. God does not just comfort us to make us comfortable. So when you say, okay, he's the comfort that I need, and that means my life is going to always be comfortable. No, that's not it. He does so not for us to be comfortable, but he does so we can be comforters. So when you go through those things and those affliction, hey, Brother Allen, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there and I've done that. Let me show you and give you some comfort, brother, because you're not alone. It's not for you to say, well, yeah, you know, everything good with me, man. The Lord just, you know, just got me at peace and everything's comfortable. What can I teach you when you're going through some afflictions? Is everything is all right with me? If life is just comfortable for me, what can I teach you? The very life that Christ lived and all the things that he went through, all the affliction, all of the pain, all of the obstacles, he gave us something that we can look at and learn from. Lighthouses are built by shipwrecked sailors. A lighthouse was never thought about until somebody tore up their boat and realized we can't stay in the dark. We need some light out here. Roads were built to be wider because they got tired of cars being mangled on the side of the road, running into each other. So we got to make the road wider. So yeah, you're going to go through some things, right? Hospitals were built for what? Sick people. And the word of God was built to save lives and bring about salvation. And the only way that you can tell people how they can be saved or to be found is that they have to recognize that they're lost. And you have to tell them that you once were, and now you were found because of the gospel truth. We ought to be able to find comfort in that. And lastly, we should be encouraged because the comfort we receive from God comes through Jesus. Verse 5, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. This means that all comfort, encouragement, and hope is received through people and the word. Therefore, comfort is pure, it's good, and it's right. It is received by faith. And where our sufferings are abundant, so is comfort. And lastly, this comfort is a spiritual comfort received by faith by an act of choice. So in closing, we are living in times where we hurt and the sorrow that we deal with is abundant. But I want you to be encouraged that you as Christians belong to Christ. And he loves his children. This world is filled with hurt, doubt, but I'm telling you that you are not alone. You are not alone. We don't have to live alone. That's a choice. If you were in this walk by yourself, it's a choice because you don't have to be. You have brothers and sisters that love you and will walk with you. You don't have to weep in solitude. I have a shoulder that you can cry on. We have to help each other. The body of Christ is here specifically to build and lift each other up. And we have the word of God that teaches us, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. So we also have the God of encouragement writing to us and waiting for us to show our love for him as he has continuously showed his love and mercy for us. At the end of the day, the simply what you need to do to be encouraged is to trust and depend on him. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So if you're here this morning, I hope I've said something to encourage you, to remind you how good God is. His mercy, his love, his grace that extends beyond. There is his love for you and me is matchless. You can't touch it. You can't come close to it. But what you can do is receive it and put it on and wear it. Wear it every day. So if you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian and you want to put your trust and your faith and to be encouraged to know that God will take care of all your needs, all of your cares, all of your affliction, all of your discomfort, he will take care of you. But you have to put your trust and your heart in his hand. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you've obeyed the gospel, and maybe you're struggling in some area of your life, maybe you have been discouraged, maybe your workload is too much, maybe your children driving you crazy, maybe your marriage is on the rocks, maybe some things ain't going well at your job, whatever the situation is, bring that before the Lord. Bring that before your brothers and sisters. Let us pray for you. Let us help you and encourage you to get through this thing, because you're not alone. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, please come now. Together we stand and sing.